This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And the program is brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cash fast. Visit better.app to download the app and sign up and get a free $10, no deposit necessary. And of course, always get your Prop Points podcast wherever you get your pods, Apple, Spotify. Well, we tried to vow vengeance on the markets and the sports books more accurately yesterday, and we received a swift kick to the groin. Actually, it wasn't very swift. It was a slow motion kick to the groin, but we'll break it down. We have thoughts. I have, I don't like losing props, but every once in a while, you got to wave the hands in the air like you just don't care and say, what are you going to do? We'll do a lot of saying, what are you going to do as we break it down. We also are popping out a new little mini segment here on a Tuesday, the DNP list. It's not do not practice. It is do not play. I am literally writing off people for the entirety of the season going forward. And I've got two players from last night that I'm never going to play another prop with them again this year. Plenty of other players to go through, but I thought it was kind of a worthwhile exercise. You know what? I've seen enough. I'm following every nuance to this player every single week, and it is an exercise in futility. So we're going to cross them off the list. We'll also play buy low and sell high, as we always do, and we'll check in with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke. Very tough assignment watching his Detroit Lions. Well, that wasn't tough because they kicked ass, but quick turnaround time. It's like, oh, Steve, congratulations to your Lions. Give me the week 8 data now, dude. Hurry up. So he might be working in the data mining lab right now, trying to pop it out. And we'll pop out the top 10 waiver wire pickups for week number 8. It's not great, by the way, out there. I actually, you may want to tune in for this at the end of the program, because maybe I'm just helping myself here kind of get through it all. But I went through last year and I looked at all your league leaders, all of our fantasy points per game, to try and ascertain how many true needle movers did we actually get off the waiver wire last year. And the answer is like 3. I mean, at the end of the answer is like 3 guys all year. 18 weeks, you got 3 guys who you picked up on the waiver wire, and they were true needle movers for you for the most part, for the majority of the season. So what we're only doing on this waiver, we're playing, we're experimenting, we're filling some holes, we're trying this guy out now. You know, seasons within the season, you know, Kendrick Bourne, you picked him up, he's been a stud. In 2 weeks, you may cut him. So it's a little bit of a struggle, but we're all in this together. As I always say, this is ridiculous, but somebody's got to win. Might as well be us. Well, we did not win last night. Let's break it down. I did go a little overboard. I said it that I am going overboard, and well, we pay the price. Well, at the very least, we'll start with the first prop listed. They are always listed in priority. So if you just played like the first prop listed on everything this year, I think you're doing very, very well. That was Mr. Dalton Schultz. And obviously, my man crushed. I actually had a winning record on last night at fantasypoints.com. I forgot to add one prop that I had, and it was CJ Stroud throwing a pick. So that was unfortunate. Of course, I added a couple extra here yesterday for the show that didn't go well, but we didn't win the Dalton Schultz touchdown prop. That was the Monday night special. But again, when you look at the process, okay, the guy had 9 catches. Okay, I think that was a pretty good call on 10 targets, 98 yards, led the team. By the way, my guy Jalen Noel, He's not on the waiver wire right now, but I actually had him on my target list this summer, even though his ADP was infinity. Look at this. 4 grabs for 77 as Nico Collins gets concussed. But keep an eye on Jalen Knoll. Great dude. Not that I know him, but I had a little interaction with him, and I'm like, you know what? I like that guy. Him and Higgins, they're both really good dudes and, you know, teammates and all that. Sized him up there at the Senior Bowl. CJ Stroud, we do win the rushing prop. I should have went more all in on unders here because I, other than Schultz, because I knew this was going to be terrible, and it was. I did pick that interception prop over at fantasypoints.com. It wasn't that bad, I guess. He only threw one pick and he got sacked once, but they got the ball out as quickly as possible. Now, over on the other side, boy, JSN is just incredible. I mean, this guy. It's getting a little too out of control, quite frankly, a little too JSN-centric here. We went in on the Cooper Kupp prop, me and the grinder, Tom Brawley. 35 yards. Can you get 36? The schematic matchup was good, and it played out on one play. 32-yarder, and then that's it. I mean, come on, man. That was should have been a win. He makes the play in the first quarter. It's like one of the first plays of the game. We're like, all right, we're good. No, we're not. Because, well, it's the National Football League right now where we don't get a lot of – we're on a lot of struggle buses. Very unfortunate there. I did mention Elijah Arroyo yesterday. I really had a feeling that he was coming on. But, you know, you can't take the prop. Guy had like one grab for 7 yards. The backfield continues to be an absolute nightmare for Ken Walker people. And I was a Ken Walker hater coming out. And then it looked like, oh, boy, I think I got that wrong. But no. I mean, this guy is the ultimate tease. They give the ball to Charbonnet because he decisively hits it downhill. Whereas Ken Walker, I have a career for him when he retires. Be a bouncer. Go to your favorite nightclub and become a bouncer because that's what you are in the NFL. You bounce it too often. Trying to run the daylight, not taking that 4-yard run because you're looking for the 40. And that's really the biggest problem, I think. And I heard Jonathan Taylor talking about that. And I thought Jonathan Taylor was elite coming out of college. But he recently talked about how he's a lot better lately because he's become a lot more patient. Well, that is not Ken Walker. Now let's go to the other game. And we're going to take up the whole damn segment recapping this game. But once again, We got our asses kicked here, but was the process good? Yes, it was. Baker Mayfield threw it 50 times, so I thought, okay, this is what I thought. Playing from behind, throwing a lot of dropbacks, 50 dropbacks, but you absolutely have to give an immense amount of credit to the Detroit Lions. And, you know, Troy Aikman actually said on the broad, I mean, I may have been a little hyperbolic, but he actually said it, that it was the most impressive defensive performance he's ever seen. I could be exaggerating just a touch on that one, but considering the circumstances, considering, you know, the fact that they were completely depleted on the back end, Kelvin Shepard, the defensive coordinator, took over for Aaron Glenn. He's already better than Aaron Glenn. That guy did an unbelievable job. And also Baker Mayfield had a terrible game. So you have the, you know, consensus MVP at quarterback going into a game where I thought he was going to be playing from behind and having to throw a lot. And that exactly happened. And we cannot even get, and by the way, Sterling Shepard, it's like, yeah, I thought it was kind of unknown with the receiving core. I'm like, I don't know about Otten this week because Big Mike is back and Ibuka. I'm like, what I do know is that Sterling Shepard is going to be very active. Oh, and he was caught all 7 targets. All I needed Sterling Shepard and Rashad White to do was just average 5 yards a catch, guys. Was not in the cards. So that would I'd chalk it up to, which we got a little bit too bold trying to make up ground, and the football gods, again, kicked us swiftly in the groin. But we do get that David Montgomery prop correct. But no wonder is closing in. So we are going to be looking more into the unders. Oh, and final thought here on my guy, Isaac Tesla. When I'm going to pop out a prop at plus 600, obviously it is a long shot. Most of the time I have found the dude gets like one chance, one. And that happened last night. This is like the third or fourth time in a row it's happened where a long shot special doesn't hit. But what happened? He got one target in the end zone, and he was open. The play got disrupted a little bit, so it's a loss. We can't take much credit, but just FYI, plus 600, dude had a chance to score a touchdown, and honestly, he may have scored that touchdown. But let me pop out before we sign off here for the first break. We can even, you know, do some news and notes on the other side. Here's two players I'm adding to the new and not improved because it's new. The new DNP list, do not play. Cooper Kupp, yes, I'm bitter, but he is an aging receiver, and it is just all Jaxon Smith-Njigba, plus their running game and a good defense, and J-Mo. Now, I am going to advise maybe trading for J-Mo later in the program, but that's a little different than playing the prop. There is absolutely no rhyme or reason to when Jameson Williams does well. In fact, last night, he probably would have done okay, but we learned, hey, Amon-Ra was really ticked off. So what do? They just fed him the ball. So that, you know, you throw away all the schematics on that one. But Jameson Williams, the Lions are too good. They run the ball. They've got Amon-Ra. So I'm not ever playing that prop again this year. We'll talk buy low and sell high next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Think you know sports? Then it's time to start getting paid for Better Picks, the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge is turned into real cash fast. Very simple. You download the Better app. You pick more or less on your favorite player stats. And if your pick hits, you're a lucky winner, or maybe not lucky. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. And when you do deposit, you get a free, you get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Better has year-round action on NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Head to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. And don't forget to use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. Just another hour or two, and I'll be over the debacle that was the doubleheader on Monday Night Football. But congratulations as well to the Toronto Blue Jays for winning the AL pennant, getting ready to take on my Los Angeles Dodgers. I think I'm going to go LA in six on that puppy because I do believe LA clinched at home last year, but in previous years, they tend to clinch on the road. Yes, I am picking the LA Dodgers. Unbelievable. But we shall see. They do need to play the games. Players to trade and trade for, buy low, sell high. And again, it's a little tricky out there. A lot of guys, most players are underwhelming. So, you know, I used to do this with a long view on like the entirety of the season, which I still do, but taking a little bit more of a micro view on this, looking ahead only 2 to 3 weeks, because it seems like the NFL these days, every 3 to 4 weeks, everything's completely shuffled. You know, whatever's happening now, 4 weeks later, it's complete opposite. So we do the best we can. We try to isolate opportunities on both sides of the equation. So we'll start with some players to trade for. And again, this is not a great list, but we can't trade for, like, you know, last week we had Javonte on there. We saw a 1 week window, too obvious. We also had Genty on there to trade. Dude ran for like 22 yards. Too obvious now. Can't put him on there. So pull them off. So I do have Travis Etienne as a buy. Now, full disclosure, after like, I think week two, I was like, sell. I'm not buying it. And then he had like maybe one other good game, but over the last three games, he is only the RB30 because the Jags stink. And he is actually 10th with 11 targets over that span. So he is getting a little bit more love in the passing attack than we're used to. He is completely week to week, but value is down a little bit after what I just said. He's only the RB30 over the last 3 weeks, but I like a nice little run of games that he has. They do have a bye this week too. That's another tip. If somebody has ETN and maybe they need a win now, we are halfway through the fantasy regular season, technically in most leagues. Somebody has a bye this week and they need a win now, knock on their door, do a little business. After the bye, mostly matchups that I think will be conducive to producing with volume. At the Vegas Raiders, at Houston, they're terrible. Good D, but they're terrible. The Chargers, they've been run on. Arizona, Kyler Murray is it's like a cartoon out there. And the Titans, they stink. So we should be able to get a lot of volume in these upcoming matchups for Travis Etienne. Next up, another guy that I've been a hater, Isaiah Pacheco. Despite, and I normally am very loyal to my fellow South Jersey residents, and he is, of course, from Vineland, New Jersey. Not that anyone knows Vineland, or some do, but he is from South Jersey and did go to Rutgers and all that. I respect the hell out of him, but I was like, nah, this guy, don't like his running style. He's too violent. He takes on too much contact. He doesn't create much on his own and all that. You know, for a couple of years, I look like a jackass because he's tied to a really good offense. But it's gone terribly this year. But some signs of life recently. I thought Kareem Hunt got hurt during the game. And I thought it was Hunt. Maybe it wasn't. Or maybe it wasn't. He came back. But I remember thinking, oh, boy. Kareem Hunt, you know, on his last legs, it looked serious. And I'm like, oh, it's Pacheco time. I know they have Breshad Smith, but he is a receiver only. So when you look at it, they're balling right now. They're getting back, got back Rice. They're loaded at receiver, and the schedule looks pretty good. So just Isaiah Pacheco being attached to this whole deal, I think he's probably going to start producing here as he's starting to now. DC this week, they're a mess. Buffalo's been run on. Bye week, Denver. It's in Denver, so I guess Bo Nix will play well at home. He's Mr. Home Road. Indy, that's not great. Dallas should be pretty good. Houston, they can be run on. Chargers have been run on. Tennessee should get a lot of volume. And then you got Denver in Kansas City. That's not too shabby. Pretty obvious choice would be Bucky Irving. I think one thing they miss is his explosiveness. I do like the schedule: New England, Buffalo, LA Rams, Arizona, New Orleans. Atlanta's tough. Carolina's kind of tough. Miami. But overall, I think that's a pretty good slate of games. I don't have much of a receiver, unfortunately, but how about Khalil Shakir? Loved him last year. Wasn't feeling it this year. It hasn't been going swimmingly for Khalil Shakir, but clearly he's the guy. He's their number one receiver. And you look at the matchups, you don't like him against man coverage heavy teams. And more often than not, we see zone on the schedule. So maybe he starts actually producing every week with, like, you know, just give us five grabs for 57 every week and maybe score every other week. That'd be nice. Carolina, Kansas City, Miami is a good one. Tampa should be pretty good. Houston's tough. Pittsburgh, that should be all right, although they play a lot of man. Cincinnati should be good. New England's kind of middling. Cleveland, that's not great, but Philly should be good. Overall, they need Josh Allen needs a guy to hang his hat on. And then J-Mo, I understand he'll absolutely drive you nuts. Goose-egged our asses in week number 7. But if you're in a competitive league and you're equipped to just plug him in there and just take what he gives you, he does have some really nice matchups forthcoming. Minnesota, Washington, Philly, Giants, Green Bay, Dallas, LA Rams, Pittsburgh, Minnesota. I know, you know, if you don't want to be driven batty, then don't do it. But, you know, in a competitive league, you might get an edge trading for J-Mo. Real quick, by the way, I'm still looking to trade for all Ravens. I don't know about Lamar this week, but I'm still looking to trade for all Ravens. Real quick, Ja'Marr Chase. I know, but if I could get a palatable, fair return, I would. Joe Flacco, we've seen this movie before. We saw it in Cleveland. We saw it in Indy. And we'll probably see it in Cincinnati, where you come out like gangbusters, but then you settle down. You simmer down. And, you know, the sample size increases and the reality becomes more and more front and center. And the reality is that Joe Flacco's 40 or maybe 41, and he's not that mobile. And the Bengals O-line stinks. So adding it all up, obviously Chase went ballistic last week, but you got those points. I wouldn't be opposed to flipping them, basically. You got to get good stuff in return, though. DeAndre Swift value is up a little bit. It could rise a little further. He's got, you know, Baltimore, although they're probably getting their act together coming out of the bye. You got Cincinnati, but overall, I don't like it. And I'm selling high here. Kyle Manungai. Hey, Manungai rhymes with fun guy. All right. That's enough right there. Cause I'm a little bit of a Swift hater, but he's been pretty good. Giants, Vikings, Steelers, Eagles, Packers, Browns. No, Packers again, not great. Travis Hunter, I guess I was a week too early on him because I liked him last week, week six. Still not buying it. He's a little flimsy. Trevor Lawrence isn't any good. Don't love the matchups. He's got the Texans. He's got the Chargers. They're pretty good. Jets are decent. Broncos are solid. I'm not feeling it. Jalen Warren, don't love the next two matchups against Green Bay and Indy. Wouldn't mind flipping him because Caleb Johnson, I think, is going to be a factor at some point. Travis Kelce made that one big play on the right side. Sell, because he, you know, had a decent yardage game, but the Rashee Rice return is a real problem. And then Aronde Gadsden, I'll put him on the list here because, well, I'm going to recommend picking him up on the waiver wire. And two things can be true at the same time. He can be a good pickup if you need a tight end. He can also be a good pickup if you don't need a tight end and maybe you want to pick him up and flip him in a week or two, or maybe even flip your starter. So that's what I have there on the trade market. When we return, we will quickly turn our attention to week number 8 and see what Stephen O'Rourke has cooking in the data mining lab. Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data joins us next here on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points right here on Visa.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the same trusted brand behind Elite Soccer Analytics in the UK. You get data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs compared directly to DraftKings lines to help you find value. To tip off the NBA season, VSiN offering a limited time free preview to our new NBA player prop projections. Visit VSiN.com/props to explore the numbers before the free preview for NBA ends. That's VSiN.com/props. And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points. Here on VSiN, we go directly to the progressive guest line, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data, Fantasy Points senior film analyst. He's on the X machine at Call Me Steve 07. He is a Michigan man and a Lions fan, so you are feeling good, Stephen. We were just talking off the air. I don't want to put words into Troy Aikman's mouth, but I'm pretty sure he said that it was the greatest defensive performance he's ever seen. Care to comment on that comment, Mr. Detroit Lion?
Yeah, I mean, it was insane to watch. I mean, I think, especially with the news that Mike Evans and Igbuka were coming back, the collective thought was it's going to be a shootout and Baker's going to throw for a ton of yards, which would make a ton of sense because they were playing a bunch of practice squad guys. But holy cow, I mean, even on all 22, Baker didn't have anywhere to throw. And, you know, even if he did, he had pressure in his face immediately. It was an insane collective performance from that defense. It was awesome to watch.
lost two props on guys who caught 11 balls. All I needed was like 54 yards on 11 catches. Couldn't do it. It's like me out there trying to catch a ball in the
Sterling Shepard
and break a tackle.
Yeah. Sterling Shepard having seven catches, if you would have told me that before the game, I would have said that's a no-brainer. He would have crushed his prop. But him going for 3 yards of reception is just – I mean, it just infuriates you.
It's gross. Oh, and by the way, that reminds me, you did bring up Sterling Shepard last week in the segment. So let's get into this week. Well, I forgot about that, but I've always loved Sterling Shepard. It was a good call, but it didn't work out. We'll be over that in about 3, 2, 1. We're over it. All right, let's move on to week 8. Michael Penix. You have some data on Penix because, look, I want to see what this Bijan line is because, Judkins didn't get it done last week on the prop side of things. But what do you see with this matchup against Miami for Michael Penix?
Yeah, I agree that I think everyone's going to talk about Bijan and how he might go for 150 rushing yards against this defense. But on the other side, on the side with Penix, I mean, what he's done well is he's thrown the ball really well at home. I think I saw Scott Barrett tweet it out the other day and I looked into it, and he's averaging 287 passing yards per game at home this year compared to like less than 200 when he's away from home. They're at home. Miami's defense has been suspect at best. They run the 8th most two-high coverage. They allow 7.5 yards per attempt in two-high and a 76% completion percentage. And they only get pressure at about a 35% rate, which is 20th in the league. And Penix has done okay against two-high. He's averaging 6.6 yards per attempt, has a 2.7% completion percentage over expected. Both are top 20-ish. But when he's not under pressure, he's done really well. He averages 8.38 yards per attempt overall when not under pressure, which is 12th, and 7.38 yards per attempt when not under pressure against two high. So I think with him not being under pressure a lot, Bijan's a weapon. I think they can move the ball through the air. I think they'll be able to move the ball however they want.
One thing about Penix, and maybe it's a little overly simplistic, but they were talking about it, I believe, on the last broadcast. Like, dude's not been great against man. Right. I mean, is that overly simplistic? Drake London hasn't been that great against man. But Miami, I was surprised to see that they play a decent amount of man, but only the 22nd amount of zone, but it's still 67%. So, I mean, I'd still view them as kind of zone heavy. Let's move on to Tucker Kraft, because I also saw a tweet, speaking of our colleagues over at fantasysports.com, from our guy Ryan Heath, pretty much about like Tucker Kraft. It's like 3 weeks where he's not on the injury report. He's absolutely crushing. So that's one piece of information, but you have something schematically that you like with Tucker Kraft up against Pittsburgh as Aaron Rodgers takes aim at his former team.
Yeah, I think Tucker Kraft has kind of worked his way to being what is the effective number one target in Green Bay when he's healthy. And it's going to work out pretty well this week. I think Pittsburgh runs a lot of man coverage, specifically cover one, and they run cover one on 27% of their dropbacks, and single high, they run at 62% of their defensive dropbacks, which are both, top five in the NFL. And where they struggle is they struggle across the middle against inline targets and then a little bit against slot targets, just with Slay and Joey Porter Jr. outside. It ends up pushing defense or offenses to go over the middle, and they're giving up 10.86 yards per attempt to inline targets, which is, I think, second worst in the NFL. Tucker Kraft leads the team in target share against cover one. He has a 28.6% target share and is second on the team in target share against single high at 21.2%. Romeo Dubs leads the way there. And he's averaging over 2.6 yards per route run against cover one and single high overall. So I just think overall, with him being healthy, him looking to now have consistency in that offense, I think that continues to push forward against Pittsburgh, because it's just their linebackers aren't great in coverage, and I think Tucker Kraft could take advantage of that.
Oh, yeah, we loved Noah Fant last week, and he caught, all four targets, 40 yards, touchdown. Just came just this close to hitting our little special there. But let's move on to Derrick Henry, who, just when you think in the National Fake You Out League that something is just not going to go well, like Derrick Henry in his last game against the Rams, well, the National Fake You Out League says, no, we're going to feed Derrick Henry. He's going to run for over 100, as he did. But this week, I don't think we have any problems whatsoever because it's the Bears. I don't know about Lamar, but, you know, what's the data point or two here that, that triggers it for you in this matchup against Chicago?
Yeah, I just think with Derrick Henry having a good week, having a bye week off of it, I think that Baltimore's not out of the division, which is crazy to say, but the division's terrible and Baltimore still has time to make a comeback. So I think that this week is a week where they can push Derrick Henry to develop some consistency within that offense. And if Lamar Jackson's back, it changes the complexion of the offense, obviously. But Chicago's giving up 5.3 yards per attempt, which is 31st in the league. They're giving up 5.19 yards per attempt to zone concept runs. Chicago gets beat up in the run game almost every week, and I think that Derrick Henry averaging 5 yards in an attempt last week and having 24 carries, which was his highest mark since week one. I just think that Baltimore leans into that more, and you know, he does average over 5 yards a carry on zone concept runs as well, so it just sets up for that to be what drives their offense.
I would think they'll handle Caleb, a lot of three and outs, a lot of volume. I do believe that Derrick Henry will run for a buck 25, especially if you get Patrick Ricard back at fullback. What do you have on Dalton Kincaid this week up against Carolina?
Yeah, he's coming back off an injury this week, so and it's looking like he'll play, and it lines up for a good matchup again. He's playing against Carolina, and Carolina kind of funnels into slot and inline targets. They allow 8.7 yards per attempt and a 76% completion percentage to slot and inline targets, and that's compared to 8.1 yards an attempt and a 57% completion percentage to targets out wide. The corners in Carolina are pretty solid. J.C. Horn's played really well. I expect Josh Allen to work over the middle, and Kincaid averages 3.28 yards per route run against single-high coverage. He has a 17% target share, which is third on the team, but he gets targeted on 26% of his routes run against single-high. So I just think that Carolina overall will push Josh Allen to look over the middle a lot, and Kincaid gets a favorable matchup against Carolina.
And then quickly, keep in mind, we could be looking at Max Brosmer, the third string quarterback for the Vikings, but you like Jordan Addison on the short week against LA.
Yeah, if Wentz plays, I like Addison. He's averaged 3.34 yards per route run against two high, and the Chargers run the ninth most two high in the NFL. So when teams go two high, Carson Wentz incorporates Jordan Addison just as much as Justin Jefferson. They're tied for first in target share against two high. So I just think that if Carson Wentz plays, look at Jordan Addison. He has a good chance there.
Well, we certainly did well with that last week. I'm not sure if that was one of yours, but that was definitely my best bet. So we thank you for the insight, Stephen O'Rourke, on the X Machine at Call Me Steve O. And when we return for the final segment, I'll go through Stephen O'Rourke, hardest working guy out there. I'll go through on the other side my top 10 waiver wire pickups, some guys long term, some guys short term. Hang tight for that here on a Tuesday edition of Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Thinking no sports? Start getting paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge is turned into cash. Sign up today, get a free $10. No deposit necessary. When you do deposit, you can get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play, or head to better.app. Use the promo code VSiN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm not sure why, but every once in a while over the course of my life, I like to enunciate the word dollars. I guess it's my Brooklyn roots. Born in Brooklyn and lived there till I was 7 or 8 years old. But every once in a while, I just got to go dollars. give me $5. Anywho, let's get into the waiver wire and who we're looking at this week. Maybe we'll spend some fake free agent dollars on some of these dudes. And that is actually a good point that I should probably mention in terms of, you know, how much fab do we give up? Of course, way too many factors for me to accurately pop that out because, you know, for example, if you're dying a tight end and you have like nothing truly to hang your head on, then obviously you're all in on Aronde Gadsden, who's number one on my list. Despite going off the week before, no one listened. And that's one of the problems here because we have so many players getting involved in offenses that like guys just drift in and out of the focus in the offense. But right now we're trending toward Aronde Gadsden being a thing as he has, well, last 2 weeks, he's the tight end 16.6 fantasy points per game. Dude's got 16 targets, 14 grabs, 232. I might not pick him up just because I'm bitter because I lost the championship once. Actually, our producer, Michael Cohen, his father was my partner in 1998, and we lost on the last play or last quarter of the last game as Dan Marino hit Aronde Gadsden for, I believe, a 13-yard touchdown in the end zone on the right, on the left side. But no, I'm totally over it. Don't worry about that. But Gadsden Jr. here is balling. And if you need a tight end, pick him up. If you don't need a tight end, pick him up. And maybe you can flip him in a week or two. Or heck, maybe if he does it again next week, you may flip your starter. Maybe have Travis Kelce or another old guy like Mark Andrews. Flip away. Next up, you know what? I actually added a name to the list. So let me crowbar in another name, if you will, because I did forget to add him initially this morning. But and also part of the problem was didn't know exactly what was up with Mike Evans. And I'm not sure we know exactly with the collarbone, but I guess he's done for the season. I don't know if that's official. But Tez Johnson, as I mentioned here, I believe last week, I pretty much said that, hey, don't know what the role is, but I watched Tez Johnson in Mobile. The guy's a separatist. The guy gets open at will. But I'm like, look, I don't know what he's going to be, you know, role-wise in a month, but right now he's playing with Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield's playing out of his mind. Of course, last night he played horribly, but didn't matter. Tez still got it done, so he's got double-digit fantasy points now in three straight games, so I think he stands out. 70% owned, you know. Again, none of these guys you're going blowing your budget on, but you know, if I needed a wide receiver in a deep league, I'd probably cap it at like 20% of my free agent budget. Next up is apparently my guy, Dalton Schultz, who I went back and I looked because I kept ranking him way over his ADP, and I wasn't even that excited about him, but I'm like, he is their tight end one. Hello. I actually ranked him at 145 on the top 200 cheat sheet we have over at fantasypoints.com for subscribers. His ADP was 238. So damn near 100 picks over his ADP. And I had him over like Colston Loveland and Hunter Henry. Now, that said, did I think he'd do this well? Maybe not this well, but he is kind of the security blanket. They don't protect. Everything's got to be underneath. He's got at least three catches for 28 yards in all six games. He's actually tied for seventh with 30 receptions. He's actually on pace to catch 90 balls. Only four dudes did that in 04. Imagine if he actually scored or starts scoring. He might actually be a low-key fantasy stud, as Jackson Dart has been next up on my list. Now, personally, I still don't buy it. I still think it's a little bit of a mirage. He's thrown to one of the worst receiving corps in football, but it doesn't matter if he continues to run as he has been doing. He is top 10 in quarterback rushing yards on the season with a .178 and three rushing touchdowns. The schedule's not bad. Philly, San Fran, Chicago, Green Bay. and they may trade for a wide receiver. So I guess that trade deadline, I mean, geez, I still haven't checked on that, but I'm not hearing about it. So it must not be this week. That's why I'm not checking. I guess it's next week. So we should be heating up with some trade talks and rumors. But if they don't, they still do have Darius Slayton. And I think they do need to get that outside explosive element there and stop miscasting Wandell as a one. Next up, Kyle Manungai. Name rhymes with fun guy, so perhaps it'll be an enjoyable experience. It's certainly a lot more enjoyable than having Roshan Johnson. That's about as fun as root canal right now. Manungai, I'm just a little surprised dude's available in like 95% of leagues. I think it shows, you know, how spread the wealth is this year, which is a problem I've been complaining about for 10 years. But the guy's got 4 to 6 carries the last 4 weeks, yet going into last week, only owned in like 6% of Yahoo leagues. Normally, people are scarfing up a running back who's sniffing a chance at touches, but they weren't believing in Manungai, and he had a breakout game here. Maybe we're looking at the Jahmyr Gibbs in the offense for Ben Johnson to DeAndre Swift's David Montgomery, I guess. You know, Manungai's got some juice. Darnell Mooney, I did say this a month ago, like, guys, number one receivers who are still young and explosive and have a big role, they don't really grow on trees. Now, granted, it's been a nightmare, but we did snap out of it a little bit this past week, 3 for 68 on 5 targets. I think we can expand out from there. They don't throw to the third receiver. They just don't. And Kyle Pitts, still not good. Next up, I'm going to go Alec Pierce, even though 2 weeks ago I was probably saying Josh Downs. But they're both good. I like them both. But at the end of the day, Downs can't stay healthy. That's the bottom line. Now, Pierce missed some time with a concussion, but he is their big play threat. He's got 48 yards in 4 straight. You're also tied to one of the best offenses in football with Daniel Jones pulling the trigger here. And yeah, I've always been an Alec Pierce stan. Next up, I'll go Xavier Leggett. Now, maybe it's Andy Dalton this week, a quarterback. Guess what? Good. I think he is an improvement over Bryce Young. I think I was talking about him about a month ago because I thought I saw something there with Xavier Leggett. Hasn't, you know, then he kind of didn't do anything for 2-3 weeks, but now all of a sudden he's coming on. He plays a lot in 2 wide receiver sets there with Tet McMillan. Big dude, big body guy. Next up, Kayshon Booty. We all know he's boom or bust, but if you read my Sunday column on fantasypoints.com, I did point out that he could go big here based on the schematic. And I have noticed he actually is pretty easy to handicap based on the schematics. So I do think that when there is a good schematic matchup, they kind of make it a point to get him the ball, maybe a time or two more than normal. So, yeah, he's volatile, but when he does hit, he hits pretty big. And then finally, Mason Taylor. There is hope with Aaron Glenn seemingly leaning toward relieving Mr. Fields of his post there and going with Tyrod Taylor, who is better. Once he entered the game, Mason Taylor had a goose egg in us. Then he got 3 for 31, and Tyrod only played 54% of the snaps. So if you could play 100% of the snaps, Mason Taylor might actually be a thing. Make sure you stay tuned here to VSiN. It is Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel. On today's show, Adam Burke and Zach Cohen sharing updated betting insights for the World Series, NFL markets, and NBA opening night. Pauly Howard and Mike Somich are in for Follow the Money at 4 o'clock Eastern, and then VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns at 7. We'll have our guy Brett Whitefield. We'll talk wide receiver corner matchups and point totals on a Wednesday program mañana. We thank you for tuning in to this show. We thank Michael Cohen for producing it. Till tomorrow, I'm John Hansen. This has been Prop Points on VSiN.